Good morning, church. Good morning, one and all. It is good to be here. It's great to hear all of this visiting going on. Smile. You never know when your picture might be. You don't know how you look till you get your picture took. So do remember that. Encourage everyone to get an order of worship on your way in each week. On the front, there is an order of worship. There's fill in the blank for the lesson if you'd like to follow along that way. And on the back, several announcements. As a matter of fact, I've got a few announcements that I've been asked to make this morning. And so let me run through these real quickly. First of all, on the back of your sheet, I do highlight the Super Bowl party invitation to everyone for the Musnick's house. That will be tonight, beginning at 5 o'clock. Also, do remember that next week we are hosting the Clarksville Christian School concert choir. We're going to have a potluck. That means we need to be bringing the food and bringing food for them and their families. So bring a lot of food, and we'll have a great time eating together. Following that meal, there will be a singing presentation by that choir. Make a note of the Women of Hope weekend, because the deadline to register is tomorrow, at least to get with the $60 price. Also, there's a men's retreat, and that's going to be in April, and sign up is going on right now. Sign up on the board over there. Hey, we're eating today. How about that? Senior saints are being honored, and that will be immediately following this dismissal. I will say, if you go through that door, it will help with traffic flow, so do keep that in mind. We've mentioned before, but we're looking for a sitter, and we have a member in need of a temporary nighttime sitter for an elderly parent. This is a paid position. If you or someone you know might be interested, you can contact the office about that. Also, get out your pencils, your pens, your calendars, your phones, and mark June 7th through the 10th. That is the first full week of June. Those are the dates for our Vacation Bible School. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that. If you'd like to volunteer and help, you can see B.J. Worthington. Raise your hand, B.J., right back there, and see him about that. We're also still looking for teachers for Sunday and Wednesday, preschool, elementary, and you can see Megan Kent or Karen Bradley. Are they over in this section? See them if you can help with that. Desserts for the well. The well is always looking for desserts, and it's February. If you can get one and bring it, leave it in the kitchen, label it for the well, and you can leave it in the church kitchen. The Lyle Wood fundraiser that's for March the 7th, I've been told to announce the cutoff for getting tickets so they can prepare the food is February 23rd. That is 3 weeks from today. And also, we have found four coins. Now, it's not like four pennies. It's four different kind of coins. If you can identify what these four coins are, you can have them. Now, it's not like the announcement that a $100 bill has been lost. Would the owner please form a line at the office? But there are four unusual coins that you might not expect someone to have. If you've lost those four coins or can figure out what they might be, contact the office and you'll be four coins richer. So do keep that in mind. Let's begin with the 118th Psalm. We're going to read some words from that, and if you would, as we come to them, read the words that are bold and underlined, as in, first of all, the very first ones we see. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks. You have answered me. You become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let's lift our voices in praise. Well, let me begin by bestowing our traveling award for the day to Brian and Talisha Scott, who are here all the way from Africa. How about that? And they're sitting on the same pew as the Jackmans, by the way. Got some kids there, too. So welcome. Great having Brian and Talisha back here. They've been a part of this church for many years, even before we came to this location. And wish you well while you're here in the States. This is a big day. Have you heard that? This is a fantastic day. It is, of course, yeah, I know what you're thinking. It's World Palindrome Date Day. It's 0202020. Say that backwards and you get the same. Now, we have some of those every now and then in the United States, but this is World Palindrome Date Day. So whether you do it by international standards with the day first or the month first, which it works either way. They say it's the last time it's worked on that level in some 900 years, and it's going to be another 100 or so before we get around to another one. This is the 33rd day of the year. There are 333 days yet to follow. Have we got an imitation song picked? I've got a few more things to say, but I just thought I want you to at least learn something while you're here today. Well, what else can I say? Well, this past week, it looks like we've had a trial in this country, and that got me to thinking, and I'm not going to talk about that trial. I really don't care to, but it did get me to thinking about this. And presiding over the trial is like the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and that got me to thinking about judging, which is where I arrived at this lesson today, as I want to talk about to judge or not to judge. I want to talk about, for the next few minutes, probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, probably one of the most misused verses in the Bible. It's the first verse in a block of five verses that come out of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be looking at all five of those verses this morning. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, let me encourage you to turn to the seventh chapter of Matthew, and or you can access it in whatever way you want to. Now, it might be easier to do a double access if you have one of these old school paper Bibles, because you might want to put a little finger or ribbon at Romans 14 as well. We'll be looking at both places. While you're turning there or accessing it, I remind you of the very first verse in this block, and you see it on the screen. Judge not that you be not judged. The NIV puts it this way. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, this verse, it's been used to justify almost any kind of behavior you could probably come up with. A lot of people have used this verse also to prohibit all judgments of any kind. It's certainly true that there are some judgments that we should not be making. I think in particular of some that are mentioned in the 14th chapter of Romans, and let me begin there before we get to Matthew chapter 7 and read a few verses from Romans chapter 14, beginning with the first verse. Receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. That sets up this passage. Paul is talking about doubtful things, and in those areas, he's saying, you better be real careful about judgments. Watch out for disputes over doubtful things. For one, in this instance, believes he may eat all things. He who is weak eats only vegetables. A difference of opinion here. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll be made to stand. God's able to make him stand. Here's another example. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He gives God thanks. He who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat. And he gives God thanks. Verse 10, why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then 12 and 13, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, that no one put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in his brother's way. Verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. One thing that Paul is saying in this passage is there can be wide latitude for differences of opinion among brothers and sisters in the body. And in those areas, the doubtful things that he mentions, it's not our place to judge. Now, having said that, the Bible does speak about judging. And as it does, it gives the guidelines for that judgment. The prohibition against judging is not absolute, and that's what I want to explore for the next few minutes, and I want to look at three principles, especially drawn from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, and pulling some lessons out of that. And the first principle is this: when it comes to judgment, do not judge solely by what you see. Remind you of the words of John 7 and verse 24. They're the words of Jesus. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, when I think about these words, one account just pops into my mind. It may already have done that with you. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's the prophet Samuel. He's looking to anoint a new king over Israel, and he calls the sons of Jesse before him, and one in particular, Eliab, just stands out. The guy just looks like a king. He's got to be the one. And God speaks to Samuel. Let me begin reading at verse 6 of 1 Samuel 16. So it was, when they came, that Samuel looked at Eliab, and as he looked at him, he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance. Do not look at how tall he is, at the height of his stature. Why? Because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." You know, judging based on outward appearances, solely on what we can see, it's nothing new. It's human nature. Even Samuel the prophet, he's falling prey to it. It was happening at the time that the New Testament was written. Warnings were issued against it. Let me read these, I think, familiar words, I hope, to you from the second chapter of James, the first four verses. "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." This is talking about us right now. "If there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings," sorry about that, "in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand over there, sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Now understand the passage. It's not a put down of the rich people in the fine apparel. It's not so much an elevation of the poor person. It's looking at them and deciding, just based on what I see, I know about you, or I'm giving deference and honor to you based on what I see and my own set of priorities. Now, what James was saying here, it was nothing new. Back in the old law in Leviticus, we read, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor. You shall not honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor." What does Jesus say in John 7? You judge in righteousness. You judge with righteous judgment. It's not this so much. It's not solely on what we see, but that idea is still with us. Again, it's human nature. I see it, and all of a sudden, I start figuring out. All of a sudden, I start categorizing. All of a sudden, I just know about you based on what I can see, what I'm looking at. It can be easily to be impressed, to be overly impressed by what comes right into our eyes. That's why, when it comes to judging others, we need to be careful not to do it solely based on what we can see, solely on appearances. Because appearances, they do not give the full picture. You might want to write this down. You can't judge a book by looking at its cover. I sat up all night to try to think of that, so write that down if you like. You know, a gnarled and mangled tree can produce beautiful fruit. It's not about the way that the tree looks. So when it comes to judging, we need to make sure we don't judge solely based on appearances, solely on what we can see. But let me mention a second thing, and it's this. We do not judge based on partial information. I want to start out with a couple of stories that illustrate this point. They are supposedly true. They've been around for a while, and some of you may have heard one or both of these stories, but they just struck me. And the first one has to do with a man who was out on a rainy day, and he was eating at a restaurant, and as he left, he grabbed his umbrella and then went over into the adjacent store. Well, it turns out it wasn't his umbrella. He had accidentally taken the umbrella of another customer. He got into the store. He realized this. Two things sort of simultaneously. He looks down and sees, oh, this isn't my umbrella. Then he also realizes, oh, wait a minute. I didn't even bring an umbrella with me. So while he's in the store, he decides to buy an umbrella. He goes, and lo and behold, the umbrellas are on sale. So he buys an umbrella to replace his that he doesn't have, and he says, well, you know, my family can use some umbrellas. So he buys two more. At the same time, the woman in the restaurant whose umbrella he had taken sees him doing this, quickly pays and gets out and sees him go into that store. She decides, you know, I'm going to dodge the raindrops. I'm going to wait for this guy at the door when he comes out. I'm going to get my umbrella. She sees him coming, and there he is with four umbrellas in his arms. And she says to him, my, we've had a good day, haven't we? Let me repeat this. Do not judge solely on what you see, and don't judge on partial information. Here's the second story. The woman went into an airport, and she's waiting for her plane. She's hungry. She's got her hands full. She decides to buy a bag of cookies to munch on while she's waiting for her plane. And she sits down, gets her stuff, reaches over there, and grabs a cookie out of her bag. Well, there's a man two seats over, and shortly after she gets her cookie, he reaches in and gets a cookie out of her bag. Not a big deal. She's okay with sharing her cookies, but he says nothing at all. And so she reaches in and gets her another cookie. Sure enough, a moment later, he reaches in and gets him a cookie. By this time, she's like, what's going on? She very, very deliberately reaches in, making all kinds of rustling noise, and gets her a third cookie out of that bag. About that time, the man's flight is called. He gets up to leave and takes her cookies with him on the flight. She's so overcome, she doesn't even know what to say until her flight is called. She gathers up her things and sees her cookies, an identical bag, identical number of cookies, and she'd never opened them up. He wasn't taking her cookies. She was stealing his cookies out of his bag. Do not judge based on partial information. It can happen that way. I see it sometimes. I hear a story. I hear one side of the story, and I think that's just horrible. Then I hear the other side, and someone says, but did they mention? Oh, they didn't mention that. One little detail can completely change the way you see things. And this is not necessarily about two different people lying. I'm not real big on that word. To me, the word lying is a very strong word and deliberate intent and all of that. But it's a difference in perspective. And just leaving this out or seeing it that way can change so much. Before we start talking about judgment, let's try to get the information that we can from both or more sides. You know, I find when it comes to human events, there's always two sides of a story. And sometimes there's three, and sometimes there's four. Let's not make judgments based on partial information. So you hear this side, but suddenly everything's changed. You know what? That's nothing new. The proverb writer wrote about this in Proverbs 18:17. We're going to put that verse up on the screen. This is an old, old proverb right out of the Bible. The first one to plead his case seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. That's it. Don't judge based on partial information. That's why gossip can be so deadly. We hear a piece of information, a bit of a story, and we run out and tell it. But we got partial information. I hope this would never happen on social media, would it, of all things? That's another story. I remind you of a question that Nicodemus asked the Pharisees, when he found out that Jesus was under suspicion, it's in the 7th chapter of John, and he says, does our law judge a man before it hears him or before it knows what he's doing? See, people can lie, they can, but people can be mistaken, and motives can be misinterpreted. It can be very complex, and when we have partial information, it's so easy to jump to partial, incorrect conclusions. Once again, multiple sides to almost any story. Let's try to gather them. When it comes to judging, it's not solely based on what we can see, and it must not be judged. We must not be judging solely on partial information. But I'll mention one third thing before we get out of here, and it's this. Remember that all judgment goes both ways. Let's get to the 7th chapter of Matthew. And we'll look at all 5 verses that open up that chapter. Words of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first remove the plank, remove the log from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck, the splinter, out of your own eye. Verse 2, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Remember that all judgment goes both ways. Every time we pass judgment on someone else, we open ourselves up to judgment. And what Jesus is saying here is this. We are going to be judged according to the same standard that we use to judge others. Furthermore, he's pointing out how hypocritical it is to point a finger at someone who is doing exactly the same kind of thing that you're doing. And we can see that over and over and over. Sometimes we even see it with religious leaders or those that are on television and in the media. It happens. And we need to remember at the end of the day, the ultimate judge, it's not me, it's not you, it's not any other person. The ultimate judge is God. So Lord Jesus, listen again to these words from Romans 14 and verse 10. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's the one who will judge, ultimately. And we need to keep that in mind. So having said all of that, let me ask this question. Is there ever a place for us on this level to pass judgment? And the answer is, yes, of course. There's a place for us to be a discerning people. I remind you again of John 7:24, and the words were on the screen. They were, don't judge according to appearance, but judge according to righteous judgment. And how is it that we judge according to righteous judgment? What's our standard there? Well, the answer is easy. It's the Word of God. And it's the Word that's going to ultimately judge people. We are called to declare that Word. I remind you of something that the Apostle Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There was a man who was living with his father's wife. He's right there in the church. It's open. He's unapologetic. He's not ashamed. And Paul looks at the situation and says, you ought not to be proud about that. I'll tell you what you need to do with that. You come together and you, this is hard stuff, verse 5. Deliver that man to Satan, first of all. And then purge out the old leaven. He's very clear and unequivocal about what to do. Are they judging? Here's what they were doing. They were specifically, by their actions, by these severe actions, they were declaring and carrying out the judgment of God. It was from His Word. They were called to discern between what was right and what was wrong. That's what we're called to do. Jesus doesn't prohibit all judgment, but He says when you judge, that same standard's going to come back at you. You better be careful. And when you judge, it needs to be righteous judgment. And in this idea, with this idea of discerning and trying to make a difference, I go once again to Matthew 7, this time jumping down to verse 15 and following. Let me read those verses. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you'll know them." Some of you may remember Marshall Keeble in the middle of the last century. He preached to thousands. At one point, he actually spoke at Madison Street Church of Christ. Some of you may... Anybody there for that particular occasion when Marshall... several hands going up. I hear it was running over to over 1,000 people. People hanging out of the windows just about. He was known for saying that God calls us to be fruit inspectors. That's part of our job. You know, a tree might have some good-looking leaves on it, but what's the fruit on that tree? And our standard for fruit inspection is this. It's the Word of God. It's that kind of fruit that God is looking for from our lives. And I close with these words from Ephesians chapter 5. Paul writes to the church and he says, "I want you to live this way. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is that good and acceptable thing to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, reprove them," I might say, judge them, discern among them. "Do not be unwise, but be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's be the discerning judges that God wants us to be, that God calls us to be. Let's judge in ways that God wants us to judge. Let's understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's never forget that one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to stand before the judge? Now, you may be imperfect. You may have sin in your life. As a matter of fact, there's probably no way that you won't be found guilty without some outside help. And John talks about it in 1 John chapter 2. We can have Jesus as our advocate. He can plead our case. He's paid the price for our salvation, and then he stands beside us, and God looks at us, and he sees the sin in our lives. He knows what we've done, but the advocate says, "I'm with her, I'm with him, and I've taken care of the debt." And he has. And you can be washed by that blood of Christ. You can be made clean and whole. You can be prepared to stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. And we offer that invitation every week to have your sins washed away, not by water, but by the blood of Christ, as you are cleansed in the waters of baptism. Again, not the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You need to be baptized into Jesus. You can do it now. You need to ask for prayers. You can go to the back and ask for prayers from an elder. You can come to the front and ask for prayers from this church. Whatever you need to do to get right, to be ready to stand before the judge on that day, don't let the time pass. Do it now. Let's stand. Let's sing together.